Welcome to the Coder Catch-Up Podcast. My name is Jamie Jones, and in this episode, we're going to be talking about jQuery is dead. Now, take that title with a grain of salt. Now, jQuery actually isn't dead, but essentially your usage for it should be dying at least. This episode was inspired by an article that Leveru posted back in April. It was titled, jQuery Considered Harmful. Now, some people might think, well, what's wrong with jQuery? Well, I'll start off with a little extract from Lee's article here. And she says, before I start, let me say that I think jQuery has helped tremendously to move the web forward. It gave developers power to do things that were previously unthinkable and pushed the browser manufacturers to implement these things natively. Without jQuery, we probably wouldn't have document.querySelector.all now. And jQuery is still needed for those that cannot depend on the goodies we have today and have to support relics of the past like IE8 or worse. So that kind of explains it. So there's new things coming out that allow us to bypass the need for jQuery. So the document.querySelector.all is a massive one. And the new, especially when you're talking about ES5 to ES6, so ES6 gives us a lot nicer ways to work with JavaScript as well. But the essential, at least what I get from this, is jQuery. It adds a lot of bloat, surprisingly. Like most of the time, okay, we're selecting an element, and that's selecting an element through the dollar, your brackets, and then your element name, whether it's an ID or a tag, or a class or whatever, that brings a lot of bloat in with it because it's bringing a jQuery object back and it does a whole bunch of stuff in the background. You're probably thinking, well, jQuery's quick and all that kind of stuff, but there's a lot of things that you just don't need, and you know, over time it does start to bloat out your app, especially if you've just brought in jQuery just to select an element, get a value or add a class or remove a class, something like that. That's a lot of bloat, as well as the initial jQuery library download. Now, you might be saying, well, jQuery was already there. Well, yeah, that's fine, okay? So if jQuery is already there, yeah, maybe still use it. If there are parts of jQuery that you're using, yeah, sure. But there are alternatives. So, for example, if you just, instead of writing the raw JavaScript, if you want to grab an element, Paul Irish released this was a fair while ago, it's called Bling.js, so Bling.js. And basically, the title here for it is because you want the dollar of jQuery without the jQuery, which is nice. So he states that you could call this a micro library, but really it's just some code that works. Paul Irish is funny that way. But essentially what it does is it will allow you to have that similar dollar of jQuery. For example, if you want to do an on click, and it will let you to do all that kind of stuff, but it's actually, it's just it itself. Like, it's not jQuery. It's not the equivalent of jQuery. It just neatens things up instead of you having to do document.querySelector.all and then your element, etc. So it just kind of saves time doing those things. So if you still like that kind of how you reference an object, then this is for you. That's great. And I mean, it is tiny, like super, super, super tiny if you want to use it. So I recommend checking that out. Now, you may be thinking, well, what about all the other stuff? Like, I've got to do AJAX requests. Well, Lee's got a bunch of websites here, which I'll talk about shortly, but the one is titled, or at least the domain is, you might not need jQuery.com. It's a great title and a great site in itself. So essentially what it does is it puts side-by-side the jQuery version of something and then the raw JavaScript version. And surprisingly, a lot of the stuff, it isn't that much harder, especially now. Now, you can actually specify if you need, you know, IE8 support, if you IE9, IE10, it actually changes what you can do with raw JavaScript as well as giving you updated versions. So, for example, with ES6 coming out or just general updates to JavaScript, there might be a little bit nicer way of doing things. It defaults to IE9 plus, which makes sense to me. So I can actually search in here and say I want to do an AJAX request. I want to post to somewhere with that AJAX request. it'll filter down and just show me exactly how to do that. It'll show me the jQuery version and then the, for example, IE9 or IE8 above version. And I can copy and paste that and use that. And there we go. We just bypassed having to use jQuery, load up a whole bunch of jQuery, whatever. So that's quite nice. So it's surprisingly not as difficult as you would think. Now, the main thing that I really like, yes, we're doing AJAX requests, but these days we've probably got frameworks for these kind of things. Like you might be using Ember or React or something like that. So they might have ways to handle these kind of things already internally. But generally, if you're doing kind of generalist front-end work, most of the time, what are you really doing? So you're using jQuery, you'll be getting something like values from something. Or you might be adding a class to something or removing a class. So, for example, when you click on a button to open a modal, you might be adding a class which activates some stuff. I mean, most of the time, all we're doing is adding these classes of CSS to then display something, and it'll give us an animation now. We can do animation with CSS3. So previously, we might have done like a fade in or a slide in or a slide out, fade out. Something like that with jQuery, but now we've got CSS to do that. So most of the time, at least what I'm personally doing myself, is using jQuery just to select an element and toggle a class or toggle its parent's class, something like that, which really, it's just simply overkill. So there's no need to grab a whole jQuery object just to add a class to something or add a style. So if you want to do some kind of inline style on an element, you don't really need it. Like, yes, jQuery can do it, and it's just, it really comes down to being a bit lazy because the JavaScript to do that is very, very simple. And you might not need jQuery.com shows you exactly how to do that. So they've got hiding and showing. If you want to replace jQuery's hide and show, it's got fading in. So if you want to do fades, they've also got alternatives, and they list things like animate.css and move.js. They've got stuff to do with elements, so when adding class names, removing class names, adding in some kind of HTML string or chunk of HTML after an element or appending to an element, they've got all that there, and the code is very, very similar, surprisingly, without all the jQuery object bloat. Now, yes, you could probably say that the jQuery object bloat is minimal, but over time it does add up. And with ES6 and things like that, I think we're going to see a trend to start to move right away from jQuery. It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, back in the past, everyone was about prototype, and then jQuery came along, and it's just a trend. Like, it's starting to move on. jQuery's kind of had its time. So I think it's time that we at least step back, look to our JavaScript roots, and start doing things. I'm hesitant to say this, but do it properly. Now, it may sound like I'm bashing jQuery, but I completely agree with Lee. Like, it's fantastic. It's doing a great job. There are still great uses for it. It may be a personal preference, but I mean, if you don't really need it, then yeah. But as I said, just to reiterate, if it's already there, then why not use it? I mean, there's no reason not to use it besides the bloat that you've probably not noticed in the past, but just to be conscious about, there are other ways to do that. But if you are doing a new project and it doesn't have jQuery, you don't need jQuery for any reason at all, and then you decide you want to select something on the page, I'd highly recommend checking out something like you might not need jQuery.com and seeing how you can, or even Bling .js, and just seeing how you can get that element and do what you need just in normal JavaScript without having to include jQuery. Because jQuery itself, you know, it does have initial load, and then you have the addition of when you're actually interacting with jQuery. So just see how far you can get without actually needing it. You'd be surprised. I was quite surprised because we're starting to do it in an app at work. And yeah, just really, really simple stuff. And you'd be surprised it's not that difficult. Anyway, I'd love to know your thoughts on this. Do you think it's absolutely crazy to think that jQuery is bloated and no real needed for it? Like, if you think it's not really overkill, I'd love to know about that. Or if you've recently switched to doing just plain old JavaScript, or any kinds of thoughts like that, please leave a tweet at CodaCatchUp and leave a comment on codacatchup.com. I think it's an interesting topic, and I don't think it's got as much light as it's really needed to. I mean, some people have opinions like, oh, that doesn't really matter, but, you know, we can't really have that attitude. Without that, it wouldn't be pushing the web forward. There was another article too recently about pushing the web forward. We need to keep pushing things forward, because otherwise the web stops, like things won't keep getting better for us. So, you know, this is a bit of a, you could say it's a bit of a touchy topic, but I think it needs to be said. I'm not too sure if it's been said enough, but anyway, this is my thoughts on it. I think definitely we should be looking to move away from jQuery where we can. I don't mean we have to kill it and not use it at all. But anyway, that's my thoughts on it. I'd love to hear yours. And that's essentially it. So we'll catch you at the next episode.